When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hirsa. We saw all the excitement yesterday at the Spanish Super Cup semi-final between Atleti and Real Madrid. We used all that excitement up, basically.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah. Barca would win 2-0. Barca fans will be happy, certainly, with the result. Lewandowski happy with scoring in open play. Was it a foul, did you think, boys, in the build-up?
No. No.
Are you sure you want to think about it?
No. It was no foul.
Yamal would score a late goal to guarantee Barcelona a place in the final against Real Madrid on Sunday. For more on this, Luis Garcia joins us. Oh, Luis, instantly forgettable.
Easily forgettable, let's say it this way. And of course, everybody looking to the final. I guess that it's true that it wasn't a good game. It's true that Osasuna didn't put a good performance. Defensively, yeah, we can say that they hold there. But we knew that at some point, one mistake, one deflection, it will arrive the first goal. I was expecting Barcelona to score earlier on the game. So Osasuna needs to open up a little bit. And then you, in transition, can score maybe one or two more goals. So they score two. Good enough to arrive to the final where we can expect a better game. We can expect a better Barcelona. Because if Barcelona doesn't get better, doesn't get faster, doesn't get more intense, probably they are not going to win this trophy. But at least we saw good moments of Barcelona when Pedri is on the ball. We saw good moments when Joao Feli was on the ball. You can see that if he's on the ball, if he's active, he can be an important player for Barcelona. But there is needed a lot of things from this Barcelona to change if they want to win against Real Madrid.
And we saw a nice finish, obviously, from Lewandowski. Much needed for him to boost his confidence, Luis.
Yes, we're talking a lot about the balls that Lewandowski was receiving and how the players were trying to find him. In this occasion, it's a very good run, a fantastic ball, and the composure he has when this is the best of Lewandowski, when he is near the box. My only concern is that so many often we don't see Lewandowski into those positions. We saw one time into the first half and he had missed. But not many times he's in that position. Inside the box, ready to receive the ball. Most of the times he's on the wide areas, arriving late. We saw on a couple of occasions arriving to the last end and making the cross and Lewandowski wasn't there. So my only concern is that sometimes he's trying to receive the ball in positions where he's not effective. That position, of course, has got the end product.
Luis, did you think it was a foul in the build-up to the Lewandowski goal?
No, I don't think so. I think that you can see in the replay, even in a slow motion where everything looks worse, we see that Christensen just arrived, holds his body, doesn't try to get intense on the ball because far away from his goal, he's on the player on his back. And the player, as soon as he received the contact, he left himself going forward. A point where even Christensen didn't arrive. So I don't think that he's I think it's a good call from the referee.
No disrespect to Osasuna or Atletico Madrid, but I think it's fair to say this is the final that most people would have wanted. It will then be Real Madrid against Barcelona on Sunday. Let's just remind you what happened the last time these two teams met. This was, of course, not in Saudi Arabia, but in Montjuic, and it turned out to be a little bit of a season-defining, well, certainly up to now, result, as we would see, of course. Barcelona open the scoring here, Ali.
And Gundogan gets a little fortunate with the deflection by Tchouaméni. And Alaba doesn't get there in time, doesn't quite make enough of a challenge. It pops up to Gundogan, who does well, opens up his body, puts it in the back of the net.
And then Jude Bellingham thought, right, I better do something, Shaq.
Yeah, as he'd been doing all season long. This almost feels like it's out of frustration. Real Madrid were fighting hard to break Barcelona down, but then Jude Bellingham just produces that. And what can you do about that?
And then things will get even better for Carlo Ancelotti's side. Modric plays it in and, it's Bellingham again.
It's that little touch by Luka Modric. Again, a touch of good fortune for Real Madrid. Pops it up and over Inigo Martinez, and Bellingham 3 yards out, my kind of range, 2-1.
And the reason I say that's kind of defined the season so far, because Real Madrid then went on an upward trend, Barcelona in the opposite direction, so much so that they are 7 points off Real Madrid. Remember, they are defending champions at the top of the table. Luis, what's intriguing going into this final, and I know it's Barcelona, but from Real Madrid, you feel they could afford to lose this and it'll still be okay given their position in La Liga. For Barcelona, the last thing they need with everything else that's going on is to go into this clash and lose against their big rivals.
Yes, I think that at the moment, if someone needs a win, is Barcelona to try to get that confidence that is missing at so many points on the games. You've been seeing Barcelona in the past 2 months or even in the beginning of the season, and you could see the lack of confidence between the players and the moments of frustration. You can see the missed passes, the maladjustment during the whole game. So at the end, if someone is to win, it's Barcelona. And it's going to be a game that anyone can win because, of course, right now, if we can say a favorite, it's going to be Real Madrid. For the moment that they arrived, of La Liga, easily going through in the knockout stages of Champions League and arriving easily to the final. And as you can see, recovering players from injury. So favorites are right now, Real Madrid. But these kind of games, you know that anything can happen. And one of the best Barcelona that I've seen so far this season, it was those first 45 minutes on the El Clásico in La Liga. So we'll see what kind of Barcelona we see at the weekend.
It's an intriguing one, isn't it, Ali?
Well, it is. And we've mentioned Barcelona and their struggles offensively. And Lewandowski, can they create enough opportunities? Can he put away the chances? In playing against Real Madrid, while I would be concerned about what Barcelona does offensively, I'm far more concerned as to what happens defensively, because that has proven to be the difference between the Barcelona that we saw last season and what we see this season. Defensively, they're all over the place. And if there was one team in Spain that can expose those spaces and can expose a team that can get stretched, that can get disorganized, it is the moments of transition of Real Madrid. So picture Rodrigo, picture Vini Jr., picture Bellingham. Bellingham running out of the midfield. Who tracks those runs? Where's the communication for Barcelona? These have all have been issues over the course of the season for Barcelona. It's not something that I'm just pointing out right now. It's clear to see. Real Madrid can exploit those problems from Barcelona, those issues from Barcelona that happen time and time again. So while we focus on Barcelona and what they do with the ball, if I were Barcelona and Xavi, I would be far more concerned with what we do without the ball.
It's good though, Xavi, isn't it? From a neutral's perspective, in that, you know, these are two teams that are going to go out there, put out their first 11s, both trying to win at all expense.
Yeah, without question. And regardless of what you think of this competition, the significance of it to either these two clubs, whenever Real Madrid and Barcelona meet, it means something. And you cannot take anything away from that. Barcelona need a good performance and a good result here just to maybe spark their season, because let's be honest, they've been really poor up to this point. But as the point you made in their first encounter and how that late win affected Real Madrid, Barcelona needs something just to get a spark, because we've been sitting here and waiting for it to happen, and it just hasn't come together. Maybe this is the performance and the result that gets their season going, because as of right now, and while the gap at the top is 7 points, it doesn't look like it's going to get any smaller anytime soon.
And what happens if it's not the spark? What happens if it goes the other way, in the other direction? And that I think, is a scary thought and a scary question for Barcelona and Barcelona fans. Because, look, we can sit here half glass full and say, hey, this could be the moment. Mm-hmm. They turn their season around. They turn momentum. Go back to last year in Supercopa final. How well they play. Okay, here we go. But what if it's not half full? What if it is half empty? And the team doesn't quite respond. And what is more likely that we see from Barcelona is what we have seen up until this point. A team that can be underwhelming. And Real Madrid can exploit that. If indeed that's the case, does this take then this team into more of a spiral in which the negative momentum becomes unsustainable, or it becomes to the point to where you cannot control it if you're Xavi and the players? If you're looking for confidence, Real Madrid is not the team you want to play. That's all I'm saying.
That's a Xavi will copy that for his pep talk.
I know.
Thank you very much.
I know.
Hey, Luis, look at this. 10:10 in Spain. You've finished early today. Loving it. So what are you going to do in the evening?
Decent. Thank you very much. Good rest. It will be fantastic for today.
Would you like to come back for extra time?
Oh, yes, please. Professional.
I got another call.
Luis, thank you very much. It is then Real Madrid against Barcelona in the Spanish Super Cup final this Sunday on ABC and ESPN Plus at 1:30 Eastern.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, tomorrow sees the return of the Bundesliga. It all kicks off with Bayern Munich against Hoffenheim. Our studio coverage with Ali Moreno and Kay Murray starts at 2 p.m. Meanwhile, Borussia Dortmund, Jadon Sancho is back. Of course, it has been a nightmare for him since he left the Bundesliga, making that big money move to Manchester United. But he returns on loan with a big smile on his face. The big question is whether or not it will be a success. And here to answer it, we welcome the beautiful, the one, the only, Jan Arge Fjortoff joins us. Jan, what is the answer to that question?
I think that money can't buy love. And I think that it's going to be hard for him to come back to Dortmund to play as good as he did, because we tend to forget in football. We tend to forget very quick. At the time when he left Dortmund, he was the most wanted player in the whole world. Then something went wrong. Something went big wrong. And you see the stats what he had at Dortmund. That was a bit different. Is that an understatement of the day than he did at Manchester United? We can discuss a lot what went wrong at Manchester United, but we do know that he was a big, big success at Dortmund. That being said, coming back to a Dortmund who is struggling, been fantastic in the Champions League, been terrible in the Bundesliga. They're not even the first challenger to Bayern anymore. So this is a time for him to come back. I think this is a second chance for him to show what he is made of. There was a lot of talk about this attitude, be coming late and everything. I was very close on Twitter or X to write when he arrived with the plane to ask if he was too late on that plane, because there's a lot of, because there's a lot of talking. And I think that some of these young kids, and we've talked about some of them at this show, they have to make sure that their attitude is proper, because there are so many great players out there. There is no time for being not lazy or not having the right attitude. I just hope for him that this could be a success.
How do Dortmund fans feel about it, Ian?
I think they will love it. There is a saying they'll never come back and second time back to a club and all that kind of thing. I think that is a sparkle that they needed, because in the last year, Dortmund has turned into a normal Bundesliga club. They get some players in, a bit older, just take them in for the sake of it. They always had a policy of getting the great young players in, Dembele, Haaland, Sancho, Bellingham, all these kind of players coming in. They've lost that a bit. So I think they see this is a restart. You know, they have changed a bit around the coaching. Instead of firing Terzic, they've taken in, for example, they have taken in Nuri Sahin and Sven Bender to kind of ease the pressure on Terzic. But we all know it's all about results and they have to get him quick.
As you mentioned, Jan, of course, they've been dreadful domestically, not in the Champions League, but domestically so far this season, still experiencing a hangover after what happened on the final day. They sit fifth. The big title rivals at the moment, of course, are Bayer Leverkusen. They are ahead of Bayern Munich going into Bayern's clash on Friday. Now, Mia Forsberg, of course, knows a lot about the Bundesliga. He made the move from Leipzig to MLS, and he was asked about the title race in Germany.
Your entire time in the Bundesliga, you've only really known one champion, and that's Bayern Munich. Mm. You see what's unfolding this year. Do you think Leverkusen can do it?
I think they're doing a fantastic job. I said it after the first game we played against them. We lost 3-2, but I said, what a team. And they're just getting better and better. But yeah, let's see. I think they're great challengers. Leipzig as well. I think it's a lot to play for. You have some good teams up there. But I think in the end, it's going to be between Leipzig, Leverkusen and Bayern. And I'm glad it's that way, that it's not only Bayern every year, even if they win sometimes, but we need a more exciting end to the season. And I think this year is going to be really, really exciting.
What is it about Xabi Alonso's team tactically that's just so difficult to play against?
Yeah, I mean, they're just finding the right spaces, putting small passes to open up that space. I think he's just... He got time to bring his idea into the team. You could see it almost already last year a little bit, but this year especially, you can see that they're understanding, doing what he wants to do, and it's fantastic football.
You mentioned you see Bayern every year. Is that a bad thing for the Bundesliga?
Sometimes, of course, if you only have one winner, it's in the end not fun. But I think now every team is developing more and more, and Bayern, as always, have fantastic players. It's an incredible club. But, I mean, now with Leverkusen and us trying to be better and better every year, Dortmund as well, I hope, hopefully, it can be like this, the way it is now, that it's even, that it's until the last game, like it was last year with Dortmund and Bayern. Because everybody wants that. You don't want Bayern, for example, champions with five games left. You know, it's not fun for everyone, except the Bayern fans.
Just a reminder, this is how the bookies have things set. Bayern Munich are still 3-1 on to go and win yet another title, but Bayer Leverkusen will fancy themselves, certainly the way they started the season under Xabi Alonso. Is it fair to say that aside from Bayern Munich fans, everyone else wants them to lose, Jan?
Yes and no. Of course, when you're winning so many times, you want another winner. That is also about the brand of Bundesliga. But it's also a fact, and that needs to be sorted. A lot of Germans have Bayern as their second favorite team, you know. Yeah. So, and every player wants to go there. And there's a lot of things that the love of English football fans, they don't understand what's going on there. The thing is now... It's quite interesting. This is interesting to follow. Just see how many Leverkusen key persons are linked to Bayern. Mm. We have started with Wirtz. Bayern may be interesting in Wirtz. Maybe interesting in Alonso. Maybe interesting in Boniface. And so on and so on. A good old trick from Bayern. The problem is that Emil Forsberg is saying, and as a Norwegian, I have to love a Swede as our neighbor, of course. but what he does say is that Leverkusen, Leipzig are developing. The problem for German football is that Bayern are developing as well. So many players take the next step. I think they're not finished yet with their buying in this transfer window as well. And with Harry Kane, I mean, when Harry Kane comes there and do all these vital goals and many goals, that is quite hard to develop quicker, let's put it that way.
Well, of course, we saw today Harry Kane's former teammate, Eric Dier, make that loan move from Spurs to join Bayern Munich. This is only until the end of the season, but I don't think it's something we would expect. Of course, we've been discussing it over the last couple of weeks. It was a surprise then. It has been confirmed now. This is what Thomas Tuchel had to say about the latest addition to his squad. He's a specialist at centre-back. Wow. He has also played as a number six in the Premier League, but not anymore for a long time. We're getting him for the centre-back position. He can play right or left centre-back as well as in the back three. We got him mainly so Leon Goretzka can be free to play in midfield and doesn't have to switch to centre-back anymore. Regarding other positions, well, we'll see what happens. What do you make of this deal, Jan?
Well, first of all, I think we have to go back to why he's not playing at Tottenham. They say that he can't play if you have a high pressure because then they're vulnerable at the space behind him, like Bayern. So that is quite interesting. But we also know that Bayern have been struggling to get that centre-back. There's a bit the lack of numbers there. Boateng, good old Boateng, is still around training with the second team. But for private reasons, they didn't want to sign him. So they're a bit desperate to find someone. And I guess Harry Kane wanted to have a friend there as well. I mean, we can laugh about that. But I think that is vital as well.
This is all on Thomas Tuchel, Jan?
Not all on Thomas Tuchel, but they kind to give him the thing that every English player linked to Bayern is his wish because he stayed in England, of course. I think this is more on Freund, Christoph Freund, because he this is his first transfer window, so to say. A friend of mine who is very into Bayern said that this could be Daily Blind 2-0. 2-0, the new version. And he wasn't very successful at Bayern. Having said that, I mean, how hard could it be to play defender at Bayern? Because they always got the ball, don't they?
I know. Meccano's made it look hard work, hasn't he? over the last few months. Overall, is Eric Dier going to be part of this Bayern Munich side that is going to come back and once again win the title?
If that's the case, then Bayern are in trouble. If they're depending on Eric Dier to be the defender that is the difference between them winning a title or not, then we have a different conversation in our hands. Eric Dier is there for numbers, is there for depth, is there as an option, but not as the answer. You still got to get the answer from Kim Min-jae, of course, Dayo Upamecano, Matias De Ligt. Is he ever going to get healthy? Is he ever going to get fit? Those are the guys that are going to get the priority. And if one of those guys is not available, then Eric Dier moves up in the chain, I suppose. But he is not. And I mean not the answer to any of the issues that Bayern Munich has defensively currently.
How's Harry Kane feeling, Shaq?
Well,
4 points behind. He moves to Bayern. And they get, right, this
Eric
is
Dier shows up on his doorstep. listen, to Jan's point, the only thing that makes sense here is that Harry Kane has a countryman now in the dressing room. Otherwise, nothing about this makes an awful lot of sense to me. I do not think Eric Dier is a good centre-back at all. I think he's actually better playing as a six, as a defensive midfielder. But then Thomas Tuchel is speaking about, well, I'm playing him as a centre-back. So much of it just doesn't add up. Other than, well, we have a player who we can use maybe in multiple positions. If we have injuries, if we decide to rotate, we have somebody that we can just plug in if we so desire. Otherwise, I don't see how this adds to Bayern Munich at all.
Let me throw something out there when it comes to the number six position. That is something that Thomas Tuchel has said, we don't have that guy, even though Joshua Kimmich is there. We don't have that guy. In the best two performances that Bayern Munich has had this season, the common denominator is Joshua Kimmich wasn't playing. He was suspended and he was out ill. It's going to be interesting to see on Friday where Joshua Kimmich is actually starting as in the central midfield for Bayern Munich. There has been some speculation and conversation that Kimmich would be put as a right back and that indeed it would be Konrad Laimer and Pavlovic or a combination of Rafael Guerreiro and Konrad Laimer and Leon Goretzka that will play in the midfield. That's some of the conversation that is going on. The reason as to why he kind of dismisses the possibility of Eric Dier playing as a number six is because he would only add more to the conversation and the speculation as to what happens with Joshua Kimmich. And for those that do not know, Joshua Kimmich carries a lot of weight at Bayern Munich. And so therefore, how he treats this situation and how he handles the situation will go a long way in determining the success of Thomas Tuchel and Bayern Munich this season.
Thomas Tuchel, about future signings, he said, we'll see. Will there be any more additions between now and the end of the transfer window, do you think, Jan?
Yes, I think they will look for a six, number six. It's quite interesting what Alice I think talking about there, because Joshua Kimmich, for people who don't know that, 1 year ago, he was the biggest hope of German football. This is a future Bayern captain. He's a future Germany captain. And he's now, he's not out in the cold, but he's not playing a lot. And as Alice is saying, they play better without him. And it's also interesting his position in the German national team. So he's desperate to get number six. He wants that every coach wants this balanced player. That's the key player. That will keep on going. This is Eric Dier is a guy they get for zero transfer they will take over his wages and so on. And there is no option, I guess, for this player. So this is just for free. This is everything that he can bring to the table is a plus for them. So I think that Bayern is very much out in the market and want at least one more player, and they will look for a number six, or they will look for a left back, has also been talked about, to get a left back in. Bayern do understand that this year could be the year, probably not, but this could be the year that another team can win the league. And it won't be RB Leipzig. Emil Forsberg still said us. I think that is quite significant, that he would like to see RB Leipzig doing well. But this is all about Bayer Leverkusen and or Bayern.
It, of course, will be an emotional evening on Friday at the Allianz Arena, given that, of course, it's the first game since the passing of Franz Beckenbauer. We've seen tributes being paid from people from all over the world, Jan. It's the first time you've been on. I'd like to get your memories of him.
Well, first of all, this is one of the players. I'm born in 67. This is one of the reasons I got in love with football. I mean, I remember my first game. I'm so old that I remember the World Cup final when I was seven, West Germany against Holland. I do supported Johan Cruyff, but Franz Beckenbauer, of course, being the winner, being the skipper, later than the Kaiser. And then I had the privilege, when I worked in Germany, I had him as a colleague. You can imagine working with Franz Beckenbauer, der Kaiser, and he came there in the bus before for a show in Dortmund. I remember the first time I had the time to spend with him. You probably said this on the show, but he's more than a football player. He's one of the greatest personalities of Germany. This is a global football star. He also went to USA, did his stuff there with Pelé and Cosmos and so on. So this week has been very, very sad. He's a fixed starter in the Heaven 11, of course, with Gerd Müller and Sir Bobby Charlton and all the rest of the big, big stars that have left us. A fantastic personality. And one also is not been a lot of talked about, but he was one of the first commercial stars of football, because he got an agent very early that kind of built him up, had great commercial deals. Franz Beckenbauer was the greatest.
We'll be showing you the tribute and, of course, reflecting on Bayern's first game of the year on the next edition of ESPN FC, so please join us. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
It's a cold night on Teesside. Middlesbrough, the old steel town in the northeast of England. They did win this competition 20 years ago. Chelsea, of course, are the favourites.
Here's Johnny Howson.
He's given the ball away to Palmer, of all people. And Palmer drags it wide.
What a good finish from Palmer.
Isaiah Jones cutting it back. And a goal from Hackney for Middlesbrough. That's what they were looking for. Q Bedlam at the Riverside.
Game on here.
Fernandes now. Oh, the goalkeeper's made a mess of it. Palmer couldn't control it. What an opportunity. And the final whistle goes. It's a big, famous night for Middlesbrough. They beat Chelsea by a goal to nil in the first leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final.
Welcome to Anfield for the first leg of the second Carabao Cup semi-final between Liverpool and Fulham. Pereira. And Willian dancing and scoring. Now there's a turn up for the books.
Just what Fulham needed.
Jones lining one up and deflected past Leno. Liverpool level.
Then they go and get the winner here.
Nunez. Gakpo. Cody Gakpo. And Liverpool have got two in as many minutes. Jones and then Gakpo turned the tie in Liverpool's favour, but Fulham have home advantage to come.
And those two legs will be available later on this month. Chelsea taking on Middlesbrough, Fulham against Liverpool. But it's all about your former team, isn't it, Jan? Middlesbrough getting it done against Chelsea. They're going to win it all now.
It was a fantastic game. It was a fantastic atmosphere. It was on the 66th birthday of a fantastic chairman, Steve Gibson. A great, great night. And when Xhaka was in Newcastle, I was at Teesside. I was at Middlesbrough. Fun fact, I played the first game at the Riverside. We beat Chelsea 2-0 and I made a Buzz Aldrin goal. Nobody will listen to that I scored a second goal because Craig Higgins scored the first at the stadium. So it means a lot to them. They are down in the championship. It's going to be tough. It's going to be the battle of Stamford Bridge, of course. But I still think there is a chance. I mean, in the first half, we saw the chances here. Palmer could have one or two goals for them. But all credit to Middlesbrough. There were some injuries as well. They battled and they won the game. So this is happy time at the Teesside.
Now, interestingly enough, this weekend we're going to see two teams who are in the semi-final facing off against each other, Chelsea against Fulham. It's a bit of a strange weekend in the Premier League. You've got five ties this weekend. Whoever's not playing, have a little break. And then those 10 teams are back next weekend. Well, this lot have a break. I think that makes sense.
Sure,
yeah. At the title ones. Liverpool, one of those teams that will be having a break. As it stands, they sit top of the table, 3 points clear of Villa, Manchester City in third, Arsenal fourth. Yeah, and we haven't had you on in for a while. Let's talk first. Erling Haaland, is he ever going to be fit?
I think there is a chance now that Alfie Haaland will play ahead of Erling Haaland. Yes, he's been out for a while. I think that I'm going at Xhaka's hometown this week, and I'm doing Newcastle against City. My tip is we won't see him there. I think also that they hope for a easier draw in the FA Cup to make him get into the things there. There is a game in the middle, I think it's 31st of January. They're playing Chelsea, I think. There is a game there. If I will put my money on that, I will think that it will be at least back there. All the reports saying that if things go slowly but steady, better, and he will be back soon. Quite two good signings for Manchester City in this transfer window, Erling Haaland and De Bruyne.
Yeah, not too bad as well. Erling Haaland's gone missing, as has Martin Odegaard. What's happened to him, Jan?
Well, now I can't buy your narrative. We learned that in some schools, didn't we? Martin Odegaard's rest of the Arsenal team are struggling a bit at the moment. I think there is a lot of things going on there. I mean, the Fulham game was terrible, but West Ham in the last game, they were at least up there. But I don't like the way Arteta is finding excuses for performances, because the hardest thing in football is to score goals. And still, they created a lot of chances against Liverpool, but there is a lack of something. There's a lack of skill. It's not only lack of luck, because this is also to have that skill to score those goals. And I've been a big, big defender of Kai Havertz. I like him. I remember him back in the Leverkusen days. He's one of the guys. But as a number nine, he's not a number nine. Against Liverpool, his confidence was so low. You just saw it. When he came to a scoring position, he thought himself, well, I got to have a shot. I know I won't score, but I just have to have a shot now. And that is something that they have to change soon. I think Arsenal will be back, because I guess maybe the crisis is yes, on the results, but if you see on the table, they're still in there. So I think that Martin Ødegaard and Arsenal will be back.
And they've got Palace, of course, next up, who've been struggling of late as well, Jan. How many horses are in this race?
I said before the season, I thought that Liverpool would be the main challenger for Manchester City. Yeah. Yes, I do. So I would say this is a two-horse race.
Oh, really? Arsenal are out of it?
Yes.
Because of Odegaard's form?
Because of lack of a striker. Because when Liverpool have Salah and they have other players who can score goals, Manchester City got Haaland, they got Alvarez. Arsenal haven't got any proven goal scorer. I think that win the competitive Premier League. And I haven't forgotten Aston Villa, but I think that Aston Villa will be very happy to be top four. So I think this is a race between Liverpool and City. And I do think that Liverpool have a great, great chance to win the trophy this season because they have picked points also at a time where they weren't that good. So it's going to be a fantastic end of the season in England.
It's never good when someone starts a sentence with, I always used to be a fan of Kai Havertz. You know it's all going to go downhill from there. I haven't spoken to you about Premier League for a while. We haven't been on together. Uh-huh. What do you make of what we've seen over the last couple of weeks and how will it define what we'll see at the end of the season?
I think a separation as to who the real contenders are and those that perhaps not so much. The trend for Arsenal right now is troubling, and you see a team that is trying to find answers and a manager who's trying to find answers, and whatever reasons or whatever excuses he can come up with doesn't quite match what we're seeing on the field. And what we're seeing on the field is a team that is struggling not only to score goals but to find results. I don't know how that trend stops for Arsenal, and so therefore it feels like, yes, Manchester City, they are the ones to beat, but Liverpool, if they can just maintain some level of pressure on Manchester City and force Manchester City to be perfect, for Manchester City to get 3 points at a time, because you go ahead and get 3 points yourself, it's going to give Liverpool every chance to win this title.
How much of this warm weather break that Arsenal are going on help reset everything? Despite the fact the families are there, which Stevie's very angry about.
Stevie would. I'm not sure. I think Arsenal's problems have been there for everybody to see. So a lack of a goal scorer, we've been seeing that probably since the first week of December. They've been able to get by without that out-and-out goal scorer, but that catches up with you eventually. Warm weather break, if they sign a goal scorer, I'm sure helps a whole lot more. But no real suggestion of that happening as of right now. I know we've got another, just short of 3 weeks to go in the transfer window. That is the only solution. I don't see how Saka and Havertz are the goal scorers that carry you to a Premier League title. They'll only get you that far.
It got quite heated yesterday between Shaq and Craig, and I just wanted to get your view on what they were discussing.
Okay.
Onana won't play for Cameroon in the opening game of their African Cup of Nations. He retired. Manchester United signed him with the knowledge that he wouldn't play international football. He's come out of retirement now. United and Cameroon have done a deal that Onana will miss that opening game and play against Spurs on Sunday. Do you have a problem with that?
So I saw the heated conversation between Shaka and Craig. Shaka was trying to keep it civil, but obviously Craig, not so much. I understand where Shaka is coming from in saying that you're trying to find a happy place, a happy medium between the federation and the club. My issue is, if you're the manager of the national team, and I have a team that I have to tend to, my responsibility is the team, not one player, but a team, I want everybody either in or out. If you're going to be part of this competition, if you're going to be part of this tournament, then be committed to do so from the very beginning. Be part of the preparation. Be part of the group. Because what makes a team successful in a short tournament like this is actually being able to build that group and the strength of that group. And if you have a guy who has turned his back on the national team for whatever the circumstances have been in the past, which is the history of Onana.
Yeah, and left the World Cup early, obviously.
Yeah, okay. Left the World Cup. Biggest team tournament, national team tournament in the world. And he has that sort of history. For him to be allowed to do this, you are not sending the right sort of message to your team and to your group. So in that regard, I think it's poor management.
So Craig's right and Shaka's wrong?
No. Hold on a second. I will never admit
that's
to that.
That's what I'm hearing.
I will never admit to that. And the other thing I would say is, and this is the part in which I agree with Shaka, the player is the one that is always in the middle of this nonsense.
The player is the one that is pulled in two different directions. And from experience, I missed out on a Copa America tournament because it was the middle of the season here in Major League Soccer. And now, admittedly, I wasn't going to be a starter for the national team in this competition. I was basically going to come off the bench. And that was the conversation that was being had between the club and the national team. It's like, well, if he's going to play, he can go. But if he's not going to play, we'll play him here. Wow. We'll need him here. That put me in the middle of a conversation that I didn't want to be a part of. It's not that I was choosing team or club team over national team. I had no choice. They were having a conversation that affected me. And so I missed out on the opportunity of an international tournament. That in itself, for the player, is unfair. But I'm looking at it from somebody who wanted to be part of the national
team. How was your mood during that time?
Not very good.
Oh, well, that's
not very good, as you might imagine. I missed out on, on an international tournament because the team, the club team, and the national team could not come to terms. And who's the one that suffered those consequences? Me. Not the club team.
And the family, probably. You probably brought it home.
Well, maybe some negativity spilled over. Maybe some negativity spilled over.
Here's my counter to the first part of that point. I think Rigobert Song, Cameron Manager, is already compromised. Now, if I'm managing a team and a player walks out during the World Cup, he's not coming back in under my watch. He can, when they hire the next manager, he can come back, he can declare whatever he wants. But if I'm in charge of this team, he's not coming back in. He's deserted us once already. So the fact that Onana is invited to have these conversations, Song's already compromised. He's not calling any of these shots. He's got zero authority. So, you know, to say then that now you're looking after the rest of the team, well...
I'm saying it's poor management to begin with. Allowing the player back is poor management.
Go on, Jan.
Now, I'm just thinking that we have to understand the history here of the national coach. Maybe Song, the national coach, is very happy with this solution. There is a guy who left at the World Cup for different reasons. We know now that there was a thing between him and the national coach. He's playing for Manchester United. He's a big star. He's a well-known star. So if he says, I'm ready to come back to the national team, well, I have to let him get in. There is no chance that the national coach will let him play against Spurs if he planned with him in this tournament. I think this is not even a compromise for Song. I think he will do a breakdance, be happy that this is the solution. So I don't think it is any problem. There is no chance that Onana would have played in the first game anyway. So I think that we are over-analyzing this because I think that the national coach is happy with the solution that is happening. And everything is just that they signed him when he was not playing for Cameroon and there were different things and he come back. There should be same rule for every player in the Asia Cup and the AFCON. Now you have to see the more individually. And I think everybody are happy here. Onana can play. Manchester United, the way they've trusted their second goalkeeper, I mean, that is second to none. I mean, he wouldn't have played anywhere. They would have played with an outfield player if Onana didn't turn up for this game.
Wow.
So I think everybody will be happy with his solution.
And his part of it is just the goalkeeper, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. So Shaq.
Just a reminder, you can see yesterday's discussion between Craig and Shaq, which ended with Craig saying they hope Cameroon lost 5-0.
And Craig has his shirt buttoned down as well, which was interesting.
And Stevie was very calm, which is
very weird.
Go over to our YouTube channel. We saw a great weekend, didn't we, across the board of FA Cup matches, and it looks set to continue at the end of the month. Spurs against City, Chelsea against Villa, Fulham against Newcastle. Just some of the highlights. We'll be bringing you them exclusively live right across the board on ESPN+. Speaking of domestic cups, Juventus are through to the semi-final after thrashing Frosinone by 4-0. That sets up a mouth-watering tie with Lazio. In the other semi-final, just a reminder, that was decided yesterday, Atalanta, who beat Milan, will take on Fiorentina. They'll be discussing this, what's going on at Milan on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules, but this Robbo, who is there, as you can see, working hard, Robbo, isn't he?
Yeah.
Looking rough.
Yeah.
Be sure to check it out.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Fear not, though. Jan is back.
Yes.
First extra time with Jan in the new year. I like extra time with Jan. and you two are here.
Oh, thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Be sure to stay tuned. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Ali, do you mind demonstrating your turn of pace?
Oh, change of pace?
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Thank you very much.
All right.
Shaka, maybe not as much because we ate a lot of cake today.
We had some cake.
Because ESPN Deportes celebrated 20 years.
Tell you what.
And Shaka was on cake duty and did very well.
You weren't getting around Jan Oblak with that.
Well, yes, I was.
No, what I just saw there.
I was getting around Jan Oblak and Jan Agerfjörtu.
You can beat any Jan Oblak.
Happy birthday. Yeah, is it your birthday today, Jan?
Yesterday I was, I can't remember how old I was, but
you already told us.
How did you celebrate?
I did celebrate to think over how old I'm getting. And tomorrow my son is 30.
Yes.
So that means that I got a son who is 30. Can you believe it? That makes me even older.
Oh, well, there we are. Lovely, inspiring
facts and numbers.
Have you, Shaq or Ali, played a match on your birthday in your career? And was it memorable, Jan? You ever played one on your birthday, scored a goal maybe?
I probably scored on any date of the year,
well,
but I can't remember. But I played in England, so I probably have, but I can't remember if... And I not any memorable game, so then I probably haven't scored on my birthday.
Ali?
I did, with the Houston Dynamo, and scored a goal and actually sang happy birthday to myself in the corner as I went and celebrated. That's right. Happy birthday to me. I did it. Can't say I didn't do it. I did it.
I didn't say you didn't do it. I believe
it was a great goal, too.
Well, that now I'm doubting.
It was a good goal. It's a long run.
Finished from three and a half yards?
Yeah. No, it's a little further than that. Left foot, near post. Real, a lot of power, Shaq.
Yes,
I do. 35th birthday,
yes.
Of course, is significant. 35 is retirement age as a footballer, in more regarded as. FA Cup tie. Portsmouth at home to Liverpool. I break my finger in the warm-up. Don't realise. Play on. Save a penalty from Michael Owen. We win 1-0. Happy days.
Wow.
And it was Carnival Saturday. Broke my finger. Didn't realise until I go for x-rays on the Monday. It's Carnival Monday. So couldn't even go home.
How can you not realise you broke your finger?
Yes. How does that happen?
I'm really tough.
Yeah, are you?
Well, I don't know this.
Okay. I'm really tough.
What's a real explanation?
Yeah.
You just didn't realise you'd broken it.
It hurt. I realised you catch your finger sometimes, and caught my finger and thought, that hurts a little bit.
But you're right. You realise you saved a penalty, though, did you?
Yeah, I realised. That part I realised.
And then it was Michael Owen taking it.
And it was Michael Owen. It was on my birthday.
Yeah.
I was most upset because if I knew I broke my finger on the Saturday, I could have jumped on a flight on the Sunday.
Oh.
But I didn't. Oh. You know, we were celebrating, and then I don't go for the x-ray until the Monday, and at that point, it's too late. That was...
Surely at 35, you had plenty of children that you should be looking after, not just swanning off to Carnival.
Had a few.
Now, talk us through the penalty save from Owen. How did you know, or how did it come about? Because you never speak about your prolific penalty saves.
I went to my left, that's all I remember.
Good.
I went left.
Went left? And did you save it with the broken finger hand?
I generally use both my hands when I'm saving.
Oh, you did a two save.
Yeah, I use both.
So, Shaq, hold on a second. So you suspected that your finger...
No, I didn't suspect it was broken.
Okay, so why you go for x-rays?
Well, after the game.
Right.
So I'm warming up, kind of feels all odd. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, but Carnival's on the table.
Yeah, no, I'm not even thinking of that. I'm playing on, it's my birthday, blah, blah, blah. And then, next day, wake up in the morning, and think, good God, that's hurting.
Oh.
Okay, but Carnival was on the table.
Yeah,
I would like to say, Shaka, I mean, storytelling, we all say how important storytelling is. Just to sum up this, you played against Michael Owen, great, great player, winning Ballon d'Or. You save a penalty with nine fingers, and you just say, you threw yourself to the left. I mean, is that your story?
Have you met Shaka before? Yeah. That's more detail than we normally get.
Stealthy.
Jan, what season will Chelsea make the Champions League again?
I'm 57 now. I'll probably be over 60.
Over 60, yeah. I think that's fair enough. Yeah. Ali, you're...
I'm not 57.
No.
But I'll probably be 50 by the time Chelsea gets back to Champions
League. Yeah, when are you 50?
5 years.
Well, 5 years. There you are.
No, but seriously, it will take some time.
Yes.
It will take some time because they have to sort out that team. The problem is with Pochettino, we all love his character, we like him and everything, but I'm just wondering, would we had more impatient if it was another manager? Because I can't see any progress. I mean, no. I'm struggling to see a progress.
Jan, what is more likely to happen? Sorry. Kane not winning anything this season or Timo Werner scoring 15 plus goals for Spurs?
Oh, that is a good one. Because his record at Chelsea is not as bad as everybody think. If you take the involvement, assists and goals. Well, Kane, I don't think Bayern will win the Champions League. I don't think they're good enough to do that with that defense and that lack of number six. So that means the Bundesliga is left. I will say it's 51-49 advantage, Mr. Kane.
If Sancho Ali regains pre-United form at Dortmund, what does that say about United and their talent management? We've seen several examples of big money United signings that seemingly forget how to play football.
Yes, it's not a good look for Manchester United, and it's more confirmation of, I think, we already know this story, that players go to Manchester United, whatever the circumstances are in the club, coaching situation, players, locker room, at the executive level, it's all affecting the performances out on the field, and it affects young players, old players, middle-of-the-pack players. Nobody at Manchester United right now can raise their hand and say, I'm having a good season. I'm playing well. You know what? I'm the guy that you can lean on. Everybody's sort of affected by this black cloud that just hangs over the club. And so, yes, if Jadon Sancho were to go back to Dortmund and play well and be productive and score goals, then obviously the reaction is going to be, well, why can that happen under Ten Hag? Wasn't he supposed to be the whisperer, the guy that was going to get the best out of Jadon
Sancho?
Everyone
would just say, oh, the Bundesliga is easy.
Well, I can also tell you this. In him going back to Borussia Dortmund, it's not guaranteed success because then Terzic himself has said about Jadon Sancho, once he left to Manchester United, that there needed to be some growing up and maturing for Jadon Sancho to be successful at Manchester United. Now he comes back to Borussia Dortmund and you have to manage this guy once again. We'll see if indeed there's been some growing up and maturing happening for Jadon Sancho.
Shaka, was there ever a time when you knew you weren't playing well and went to the manager and asked to be dropped for a couple of games to get yourself right? Or would that have been completely frowned upon from your teammates?
Completely frowned upon.
Yeah. You get it through yourself.
Many a time I know I've not been playing well, but my focus was on just kind of playing through that slump.
Right.
You don't ask to get left
off. No. Yeah, I imagine the same for you, yes?
Absolutely, and I think especially, well, for any player, I mean, Shaka, the goalkeeper, I'm the goal-getter, you just hope that in a terrible, terrible game, and you haven't had the luck for a while, that some play ball will hit you in the back of your head and go in and you win 1-0. I mean, that is also the thing. for a striker, even in games where you're struggling, you just hope, keep on going, keep on going. So even if you're bad, you are so desperate to play, to turn it around and get a winner, get a goal, get a win, being a part of that team.
And most players that get to this sort of level get there because they have an inner drive.
Right.
And there is something about ego, there is something about pride that says, this team is better when I'm on the field. To give up hope and say, actually, they're better off without me, now it's time to go home at that point. You may feel that way, but you don't accept it. You don't take it in and say, you know what, in a moment of reflection, this team is better without me. No chance. That's not happening.
Ali, with Real Madrid reportedly looking into Alphonso Davies, which left back would you prefer at Madrid, Teo Hernandez or Davies?
Oh, good question.
Man, I'm going to say Alphonso Davies because it's undeniable the element of speed that he brings to the game. And just think about this from the Real Madrid perspective. Vini, he throws himself on the left, but now is playing alongside Rodrigo as a front two. When he talks inside and he's going to attract a lot of attention from the outside backs and the center backs of opposing teams, that leaves that whole left flank open for speed. Where would that speed come from? Alphonso Davies. I think it would set up perfectly for Real Madrid. For that reason, I'm going to say Alphonso Davies. Wow.
Dan, it's time to end the debate that has not let me sleep peacefully. Rank according to their pace. Oblak, Xhaka, Jan, Ali, and the fish.
I have to say today, coincidentally, I was with the chairman of that club who had that race with me and the fish.
Yes.
And I said to them, yes, you have Karsten Warholm, 400-meter hurdles winner, 2 times world champion, Olympic gold, but I tell you, I'm more well-known for my runs in USA than Karsten Warholm.
It's very true, very true. The problem is now Jan's a year older, so a year slower, so I think the fish would catch him.
Oh,
yeah.
You too. Yeah. So,
we have our own FIFA rankings thing.
I think, without a doubt, the fastest out of the five, the four of you, is the fish.
What?
The fish comes in on top.
Fish is best now. Is it best, not a fish?
The fish. I'd put Oblak second.
What? No,
I don't think either of you would have got even close to Brahim Diaz yesterday.
I would have gone close to Oblak.
Then I think I'm going to... Then I think I'm going to go Xhaka.
What?
Yeah.
Controversy.
Yeah, I think Xhaka.
Are you kidding me?
And then I would say Ali. FIFA rankings have told us in the past
that
his speed is something that is not rated as one of his assets.
Oh, well.
Unless it's his birthday.
Deceptive speed, baby.
And then I'm going to put Jan just as the elder of the group.
No
protest from Norway. No protest.
All right. And the final question.
Oh, that wasn't it?
A special one for you, Al. Oh. Would you take Jan's hair if it meant you also had his speed?
No. See, Jan's hair doesn't match my personality. It's nothing to do with your hair. Nothing to do with your hair. It's a shot at me.
I've seen you with hair like that when you were a Viking for Halloween 1 year.
That was a wig, Dan.
I know, but Jan's hair is similar and you look better.
Did you find it sexy?
No, I said you look better. Okay.
I'm interested in what's Jan's hair's personality.
What am I going to say? It's just I'm saying my hair, when it used to get long, it wouldn't grow long or out. It would, it would curl.
You said Jan's hair won't match your personality.
Well, because it won't. I'm not a long hair flowing lock sort of guy,
But it's the same. No, but Xhaka, that's fine because I don't think that the boldness of Al would match my personality either.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's fair.
That's right.
No, that's
plus. plus this hair would slow me down. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, this is more aerodynamic. Right. This is aerodynamic.
Aerodynamic. Yeah, it's hair for the fish.
Yes, that's, it, yeah. That's it. You all right? You pretending you've got hair?
I'm fixing my hair.
All right, okay.
It's beautiful.
Thank you very much. That is it then. That brings us to the end of Extra Time. ESPN FC will be back tomorrow.
Would I have to wear a headband?
Kay and Ali will be in the studio.
Good.
of course, we'll be talking about Bayern Munich's first game of 2024. Shaq is here as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hey.
Give that finger.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.